All right, the recorder is started. All right, so in the Kindle, or I am on page 154, and what we're doing is we're in, I think we're still in NTI Luke 12, and we are beginning verses 35 to 48. So is that on the same page for you
same
guys?
Same page.
154? Okay, so let me read them. See, it's right where we've left off. It's perfect. And it's right where the course has been all week. It's so perfect. It will be helpful if you remember this. God's will is that you be perfectly happy in every moment of eternity. That is simple. And so when you are not happy, you have made a choice that is not God's will. When you are not happy, you have chosen with resistance. That is all. It is not a fight or a rebellion. It is merely resistance. It does not take you from God or separate you from Him. It merely resists your willingness to know Him. So whenever you are not happy, it is because you are resisting accepting truth. To be happy again, all you need do is return your heart to your willingness. Your willingness sings of God's will. And so give yourself to it in every hour to know happiness. So we'll read more in just a moment. But as I mentioned, that you know, I've been doing the course workbook, and the course workbook all week has been about, you know, God's will for me is perfect happiness. And you know, one of the points that it's made this week is that one of the reasons we keep ourselves from being happy is because we believe that we deserve punishment. And it's kind of funny because on Saturday, Jasmine demonstrated this for me in a very funny way. But Danielle and Jasmine and I were on the back deck, and we were talking about what we were going to do for the day. And I threw out some ideas. What came to my mind, I threw out the idea of maybe going for a hike, you know, taking the dog and maybe going for a hike. I also had the idea of going hiking without the dog. I had the idea of hiking, you know. I had the idea of going back to Florence. We went to Florence last Friday, and we really liked it, so I had the idea of going back to Florence and finishing the town. We hadn't seen it all, and showing it to Danielle. And I can't remember if I had any other ideas or not, but you know, after some discussion, Jasmine let us know that she wanted to go to the zoo. And I said, you know, okay, you know, we could go to the zoo. And then she said, well, no, I don't want to, you know, because you don't want to. And I'm like, no, really, I'm fine with that. You know, we can go to the zoo. She goes, well, you know, when you were listing the things that, you know, we could do, that didn't come up in your mind. So, you know, I know you don't want to do it. And I said, well, I didn't think of it because I go to the zoo every Wednesday, you know. You know, and I kind of wanted to do something new today. But I said, but I'm fine with going to the zoo. I know that you want to go. And, you know, and then she went into her room. And so I went into her room in a few minutes. I talked to her again. I said, so we'll go to the zoo today then. And she said, no, I don't want to, you know, again, because you don't want to. And I said, Jasmine, I said, I'm very happy being happy not getting my way today. And she said, well, I am getting my way, and I'm not happy. And I said, how come? And she said, because I don't deserve it. And I asked her, why do you think you don't deserve it? And she said, because I'm making you do what you don't want to do. And so I don't deserve to be happy. And I thought, that's exactly what the course is talking about. She has it in her mind that she's somehow sinned. You know, she's obviously made up the sin, because I was fine going to the zoo. You know, I just didn't think of it myself. But, you know, she has it in her mind that she's sinned by forcing me to do something that she says I don't want to do, right? You know, maybe being selfish or something like that. And because she's sinned, she now doesn't deserve happiness. I just told her I thought that was a crazy idea and she should let it go. And obviously she did, because I think she was happy at the zoo. But I just thought that was a good demonstration of what we do. You know, we think we've sinned. In fact, we talked about that here in a way. I remember using you as the example. I remember you were here. I said something like, if I, you know, snapped at Lynn, you know, What I would do now, if I snapped at Lynn, is I would immediately forgive myself. But there was a time when I would have thought I couldn't, because I had sinned. You know, I had sinned by snapping at Lynn, and now I deserve to suffer in my guilt for a while. So just watch for that little tendency that seems to be a very human tendency. Again, Jasmine demonstrated it perfectly on Saturday. And notice when you've judged yourself as having sinned, and then you think because of that you can't return immediately to happiness. You can't, I mean, it's like a law. It's an ego law. But it's like a law. Because I did something bad, I'm not allowed to be happy right now. I have to suffer for a while first. And that's not true. It's just not true.
It comes to that thought of unworthiness.
Yes.
I'm not worthy of being loved.
Yes.
And how often is that our central theme in the mind of the ego, is you are not worthy. And therefore, you, whatever it is that you want, you don't deserve it. Whatever it is you think, you're wrong. Whatever it is, I'm not worthy. And it goes right back to God loves me, and I don't need to be worthy because I am what I am.
Yeah, and this, of course, is saying that whenever you're not happy, you are simply resisting knowing who you are, knowing God, but that's the same thing. You're simply resisting knowing who you are. So why don't we go on to verses 49 to 53. Let me tell you another secret. The world cannot make you happy, and so the world must not be God's will for you. Do not worry about the world. Let the world take care of itself, and trust that all things are handled in a loving way. You, my friend, are to follow your own heart. Set your feet on the path to healing, and let your mind stay with the joy that comes from your willingness. Give no thought to anything else, and you will make yourself truly helpful to all. So, in June of 2006, the Holy Spirit gave me, from within, like six little paragraphs. It's the five little paragraphs, because I call them the five wants. And my guidance was to read and contemplate those five wants daily. And I did this for a very long time. I don't know if it was a year or a year and a half, but like every day I would sit down, I would pull out these five wants. And the very first one was, I want only what the Holy Spirit wants. Actually, I think it was called, I want to listen to guidance in all things, but it defined that as, I want only what the Holy Spirit wants. And so what happened for me, I think, is that as I meditated on, I want only what the Holy Spirit wants, is I started noticing when I wanted other things. You know, like, let's say I want red hiking shoes too. You know, I want to be as cool as Dan. I want red hiking shoes. And then I search all over for red hiking shoes and I can't find them, so now I'm frustrated, right? Well, I started noticing that what I wanted actually made me unhappy. That's what I started noticing. And so if it wasn't already present, and usually what you're wanting isn't present, that's why you're wanting it, right? So what I wanted made me unhappy. And so just what happened over time was I would say that my own wants just kind of lost their importance. I mean, they may still show up in the mind, but they're very easily dismissed. And what took its place was just this realization that all I want is just whatever's here. You know, like I don't want anything else. All I want is whatever's here. Whatever's here is fine. And I was telling this story in my ministerial class, I guess it was last night, in my ordination class. And I said, you know, it's funny because like when the sewer backed up in my basement, I said there was nothing in me that was unhappy. I mean, it didn't occur for a split second, which is crazy, I know, but it just didn't. It just didn't occur any unhappiness at all. And, you know, somebody might ask the question, so does that mean that Holy Spirit wanted your sewer to back up? This is the kind of question you might ask. That sounds like something you might ask. You said you want only what Holy Spirit wants, but did Holy Spirit want your sewer to back up? I'm like, no, it's not that. What Holy Spirit wants is my perfect happiness all the time, regardless of what happens. That's the realization that finally came, is what I didn't know it at the time, but when I was meditating on, I want only what Holy Spirit wants, I was also meditating on, although it wasn't directly, that I want just to be happy, like all the time. And so that's why my wants were starting to show up in my vision and showing me that by wanting this and by wanting that, I was actually making myself unhappy. And I learned to drop wantings very quickly because, you know, they created some kind of unhappiness. When if I was just happy, you know, with whatever was, that's what Holy Spirit wanted for me. So, this is saying the world cannot make you happy, so the world must not be God's will for you. You know, God's will is not, and Susie said this when she came in today, God's will is not happy because. Happy because things are a certain way. That's world focused. God's will is just happy. And the world is irrelevant. You know, one day something that people define as good may happen. One day that something people define as bad may happen. But your happiness is consistent. It doesn't go up and down with the world. That's God's will for you. And so verses 54 to 59. And so, my brothers, I say to you all, pay attention to how you are feeling. When you are not feeling joy, you have chosen resistance. Do not worry about your mistake. It is not held against you. See it only as a wake-up call and a reminder to choose your joy and willingness again. In this way, you wake yourself up. In this way, you make the choice that sets you free. And one thing that Dave and I talked about during the week was, you know, the bridge to being happy. Like if you can't just choose to be happy, and you don't want to lie about that, I can't, I just don't feel happy, I can't just choose it. But the bridge to that happiness is the rest, accept, and trust. Right? The rest, accept, and trust. You rest your mind, whatever's going on in your mind. You accept how you're feeling and accept this is just what the situation is right now. Trust, you know, all things. You know, you don't know what anything is for, but you can still trust it, right? All things are for your healing, and so you can trust it, right? You rest, accept, and trust. And through that process of resting, accepting, and trusting, the miracle eventually happens, if not immediately. The miracle happens where one day you notice you're in this situation that you know would have caused you some kind of suffering before, and guess what? It's not there. I mean, it doesn't even show up. You don't have to forgive anything because nothing shows up to be forgiven in you. It's just, you know, you're just fine. So,
just something that you just said when you were talking about the rest and accept and trust. And I've always heard that rest, accept whatever is happening, and trust. But what something you just said was more of accept what is in your mind about what is happening.
And how you're feeling about
it. How you're feeling about what is happening. And that there's a real difference between those two things.
Yeah.
And thank you for saying that.
Sure.
That is meaningful to me. Because it's not just accept that, you know, the world is falling apart and, you know, the wrong person's being elected or whatever, you know, accept that, you know, I think those thoughts and whether they're helpful thoughts or not, to me, it doesn't really matter. Accepting that I have those thoughts and trusting, allowing my mind to be changed.
Yeah, in fact, when I learned rest, accept, and trust from within, the way that it was taught to me was basically accept that these are the thoughts in my mind now and accept that these are the feelings I am feeling now. But the now part emphasized that it was temporary. That's what the now, this is what's here now. It emphasized the temporariness of it, so it's definitely going to pass. Do you want to say something, Priscilla?
Yeah, I think what's been helping me more, in addition to the the rest, accept, and trust, is that other thought of everything that is happening for my healing. That helped me more into the trust than I was, because no matter what it is, it's there for my healing. Whereas before, I would see it like an obstacle, and now I have to start all over again. And because of this, now I'm thinking whatever I'm thinking, and it's all a mess, and it's going to take me forever to get back on track and all that. And now I can see that whatever happens with the circumstance, the outside circumstance, it's all for my healing. And so that's been a big comfort to me, accept that within and without.
Yeah, and what Priscilla was saying for the recording is that it's been very helpful for her, that thought that whatever happens is for her healing. That helps her to trust it. So, all right, why don't we start NTI Luke chapter 13. When you look at the world, remember that you are looking through the filter of your own mind. When you find yourself reacting to the world you see, remember that you are only reacting to the thoughts in your mind. This will provide for you the opportunity to see the thoughts that you think. As you watch the world through the filter of your mind, you will think you see many things. Some will seem good, heartwarming, funny, happy, and desirable. Others will seem frightening, horrible, wrong, disgusting, and undesirable. And there will seem to be a sliding scale of good and bad and every thought that is in between. Now, remember again that you are looking through the filter of your mind, which means that the concepts of good and bad must be thought of there. Surely you will see that these thoughts are yours, and you are the proud owner of the judgments you have made. Recognizing that you own your judgments is important, for if you are the owner or the believer of what you think, then you can also decide to choose again and allow yourself to think differently. So I'll just stop right there. So again, we're getting back to the unevaluated judgments topic again, and we're looking at it again. And what Spirit is saying is that, you know, we want to recognize, you know, if we can, all of our judgments, you know, the good as well as the bad. But what we really want to notice is that that is happening in this head. This head right here is where it's happening. You know, so again, I hope you don't mind me using your red boots, because they're probably going to be used all night. You know, whatever happened in this head when I saw those red boots happened right here. Now, in this particular head, it was like an, ah, cool. You know, like, those are cool. I like those red boots, all right? But it doesn't matter whether the thought is, ah, cool, or whether the thought was, you know, what a ridiculous color for hiking boots, right? I owned that. And my emotional reaction that I had came from my believing of my own thought. And there's no fact about it. There's no fact at all about red boots. That's why we can all have a different opinion. There's no fact about it, nor is there any fact about anything else in this world. There's no fact about, she mentioned the wrong guy getting elected for president. There's no fact about that. You can, you know, if you want to find out, just take a poll, because a lot of people thought he was the right guy. That's how he got elected. You know? There's no fact about any of these things. But we have the thought, we believe the thought, and then we have the emotional experience that is caused by that thought. In fact, earlier this week when I was doing some self-inquiry and some writing, I found myself calling thoughts experiential objects. Because if you believe the thought, you then have the experience, whether it's a happy who, or a down, or an angry, or a guilty, or, you know, whatever, you have the experience of believing that thought. But what Spirit wants you to notice is you may have thought it was a fact that red boots are cool, or you may have thought it was a fact that that was a funny color for hiking boots. But actually, that's just a thought that appeared in your mind. He wants you to notice you thought that, in your head because you were looking through your head. Right? That's why you had that thought. And now you're having the experience of that thought. And notice that's true with everything. However you feel about fish, steak, vegetarians, the color brown, traffic. I mean, I could list things for the rest of the night. And a lot of these things, as soon as I'm mentioning them, you're having an association. But whose association is that? Right? It's yours. And if you notice that it's your association, then you recognize that it's your association, and especially if you recognize that these associations are causing you suffering, you could start to say, but wait a minute, it's all mine. It's all mine. Which means I don't have to keep it. If you think it's a fact, you have to keep it. Like if you think it's a fact that traffic sucks, then you're automatically frustrated every time you're in traffic. Right? Because it's a fact. Traffic sucks. But if you start to realize, wait a minute, this is just the filter of my mind that's saying traffic sucks. And as a result, I'm having this experience when I'm in traffic, but I don't have to. That's actually an enlightening thought. You can actually start to notice when your mind is trying to tell you traffic sucks, and you can say, wait a minute, do I want to sit here in traffic frustrated? Or would I rather sit here in traffic feeling okay? You know? And you can start to ask yourself these questions. And if you start to ask yourself these questions, you'll be surprised. You'll actually make some pretty wise choices. Because actually, your nature is wise. The only reason you're having these experiences is because you're not looking. You're not noticing, oh, this is just my thought. I don't have to think. You're just accepting it. Traffic sucks. Boom. It's totally accepted. It's never looked at. And that's where the suffering comes from. It's pretty cool, huh? So let's start at sentence 11. At first, you may not see why you should want to change some of the judgments you have made. So I ask this of you. Now, before I continue, I'll just tell you what was in my mind at the time. I had just seen on the news that some guy had murdered, I don't remember if he sexually abused, but he murdered his 2 5-year-old twin daughters. And the judgment I had made was that he was bad, right? And so when Spirit's telling me this, I'm thinking, you know, but this was a worthwhile judgment, you know? Right, this guy's bad, and we do need to know the difference between, you know, bad guys and good guys, and what's bad and what's good. And many people go through this phase. We do have to know the difference between bad and good, you know. So maybe I don't want to judge the traffic sucks, because I can see how that hurts me. But it actually helps me to judge this guy as bad, right? Okay, so that's really what Spirit is talking about, because that's what was in my mind when this was coming. So at first, you may not see why you should want to change some of the judgments you have made. So I ask this of you. Remember that judgment is like a knife that looks at the Son of God and separates him. This means that as long as you hold onto your judgment as something that has value, you are blind to the beauty and value of the sight of the Son of God. So what Spirit is telling me here very clearly is, as long as you want to continue to judge that man as bad, you will never know heaven. You will never know enlightenment. You will never know awakening. You just won't. So the question really becomes, which do I prefer? Do I prefer to hold on to my judgment that this guy is bad, or do I prefer to awaken and see heaven? That's the question. So Spirit's saying, look at it this way. Right? Look at it this way. Which do you want more?
But at the same time, then, what happens, and how, not just in my mind, but I'm the only one I know about, so I guess maybe so. What happens is that automatically, ego says to me, then you have to sacrifice your own worth and goodness in order to allow this guy to be innocent.
My mind didn't go there.
I have to sacrifice.
And how is that true? How do you sacrifice your worth and goodness for him to be innocent?
Because that obviously means that what I believe about the world is not true.
Mm.
And if what I believe about the world is not true, then everything that I've imagined about goodness and badness
and self-image
has no basis.
And that's true.
Yeah, that's true. But ego says, "Well, then you have to accept, all this badness and evil, and that means that you have to sacrifice your own belief about who you are and what you are."
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the movie Peaceful Warrior, when Dan Millman was up on the tower, and he met his ego, which looked just like him. And he's struggling with the ego, and he wants to throw the ego off the tower, which is the symbol of letting go of ego. And his ego's holding on to him, and his ego says, "Do you know who you are without me?" Right? That's what that reminds me of. You know, and Dan Milliman said, "No," and then he let him go anyway.
What was funny before that, though, was the ego part of him was, "All right, yeah, let's go. Throw us off. Yeah. Let's do it." You know, and then he said, "Okay, we'll do it." And then ego's like, "No, wait a minute. What are you thinking?"
Yeah, the ego's definitely going to fight for its existence, and it's going to tell us that, it is what we are, and that if we let go of it, that it's a sacrifice. But that's just not true. That's just the ego's arguments. And I suppose that as we just focus on our willingness more and more and more, that feeling of sacrifice just kind of, fades, I guess.
Because you don't need to be right.
Yeah. Well, I think, it's funny because I did some writing this morning, and one of the things I wrote this morning was something like, I'm going to totally screw it up because it's much more poetic when I'm in my contemplation. So here's the screwed up version of what I wrote this morning. What I wrote this morning was something like, why should I want to awaken when the self that's even feeling the calling to awaken can't awaken, and everything that this self knows does not exist in awakening? Why should I want to awaken? And the answer that came was, because I can't help it. Because the call has come, and the call is like gravity to an object that's falling to earth. It's a call that just simply can't be avoided. So I don't think there's like a logical reason that can be explained to the ego mind as to why we should awaken, because eventually the ego is not stupid. That part of our mind is not stupid. It says, "But I'm not there. I'm not there. You can't convince me that I want to go there because I'm not there." And eventually we have to just say, actually, I don't have a clue what awakening is. I don't have a clue what it's going to feel like not to be Regina. I don't have a clue what the whole experience is going to be. But I just can feel that call, and I'm just going anyway. And that's what it symbolizes to me when Dan Millman goes ahead and throws the ego off the tower after the ego says, "Do you know who you are without me?" And he says, "No," and he throws him anyway. So at first, it's losing everything that is known, everything that is known. I mean, my God, if you look at that too long, you will definitely see sacrifice there. But there's something in us that calls us anyway, and it just seems like the closer and closer we get, the less and less that probably looks like a sacrifice, right, as the gravity pull happens. So, yeah. So that's what Spirit is saying here, that, it's actually a different sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my awakening if I choose to cling to my judgments, even those that seem justified, like this guy who killed his twin daughters, right? So, remember that judgment is like a knife that looks at the Son of God and separates him. This means that as long as you hold on to your judgment as something that has value, you are blind to the beauty and value of the sight of the Son of God. And now, with that thought in your mind, can you give your willingness to lay your judgments aside, whatever they may seem to be? If you can find but a bit of willingness to see the Son of God and so not to judge, that is enough. If each time you notice your judgments, You give your willingness in whatever measure it may seem to be. That is enough again. I bless you with my gratitude each time you give me but the smallest measure of your willingness. For each small measure is like fertilizer. It's like cow crap. How's that for poetically? It is useful to me in the healing of your heart. And of course, what that really means is every time you give your small willingness, it actually makes your willingness grow, right? Every time you give willingness, willingness grows. And so, you know, you may feel like 99% of you still wants to hold on to this judgment that this guy's guilty. You may feel strong resistance to letting go of this judgment that this guy's guilty because the whole world tips, you know, if you do. But if 1% of you says, but maybe, then go for that 1%. That's what Spirit's saying.
I noticed a big judgment when I was reading a channel. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it was talking about John the Baptist and that John the Baptist died because of his fear or something like that.
So yes. Yeah, actually, he died because of Herod's fear.
Right, but how my ego read it was that, you know, here was John the Baptist, you know, this light in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, how screwed up is God that he would kill the light world? Wow. You know, have him beheaded, no less. You know, off my ego went. And that was, it, you know, it did bring me kind of a lot of fear there. It's like, you know, and then of course, like, it wasn't even looking at Christ who yes. died on the cross. Well, that was nothing compared to poor John the Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it is true. It is true, and correct me if I'm going down the wrong path, but I think it is true that most of us, when we start the spiritual path, we have this idea in our head that if we practice enough, good enough, that someday only good things are going to happen to us. And do you hear the judgment in that? What we're really being asked to do is let go of judgment. How can we hold on to that idea and let go of judgment? You know, you can't. So eventually what happens is eventually, you know, what I call spiritual maturity, you know, helps us to see that actually what we're here to do is to let go of the judgment of a situation. Therefore, we're not determining any situation to be good or bad. It just is. And we're learning to be happy no matter what. And certainly if you were to do a study of the spiritual greats, you would have difficulty finding the rich guy with the beautiful wife and the, you know, everything that we determine to be perfection. I mean, because they didn't have that stuff. You know, I mean, not the spiritual greats that we know about. And you know, they died in all kinds of ways. You know, I remember somebody once said to me, Peace Pilgrim couldn't have been enlightened because she was killed in a car crash. You know, that's that thought that it, you know, but then how are you going to die? You know, if something, you know, only good things can happen, I guess that means the body has to last forever and stay young. And I mean, you know, eventually that gets ridiculous. But yeah, in the beginning, that's what we think. But what we're really talking about is learning to be happy no matter what. The peace that passeth understanding. It's one of the best lines from the New Testament. That's what we're after. You know, in Peace Pilgrim, again, she was a great example of that. She talks about, like, the night she was walking through New Mexico and an out-of-season snowstorm came. In fact, it was a blizzard. And she's walking down kind of a deserted highway, and it's really blizzarding, and the snow is starting to stick to her, and it sticks to her feet. And, you know, like, it's heavy just to even lift her feet because they're becoming these big clogs of ice and snow. And the thought occurs to her that she's going to die tonight. And she says, you know, if somebody, well, then what happens, actually, I tell the rest of the story, then I'll come back to that. The thought occurs to her that she's going to die tonight. And shortly after she has that thought, she has this vision. And in the vision, she sees a friend of hers who has already passed. And the friend told her to let go of that thought, that it's not her time. And then when the vision ended, she looked ahead and she saw a bridge. And underneath the bridge was a big moving box with some newspaper in it. And she went under the bridge, you know, curled up in the moving box, covered up with the newspaper. And if you hear her tell the story in her cute little voice, she goes, even there, shelter was provided. You know? But afterwards, she says, you know, if someone had seen me walking along the highway that night, they would have thought that I was suffering, you know. She said, but I was, you know, gloriously happy. It was a wonderful night. So that's the peace that path is understanding. If you can be walking through a snowstorm with, you know, ice sticking to your body, you know, thinking you're going to die, and be gloriously happy. See, that's what we're after. That's what we're after. Not that it never snows. Right? The peace that passeth understanding. And that's what this is, that's where this is taking us. This Course in Miracles, NTI, and the similar teachings. So, let's see. How are we doing on time here? Do we want to stop there? Yes, I think we do. So we're going to just stop right there. So next week we'll begin with verses 10 to 17. So really what we've talked about tonight is still being happy. We talked a little bit more about being happy. And then we went back to unevaluated judgments. And Spirit asked us to again start to notice that whether it's a, quote, a good judgment or whether it's a, quote, a bad judgment, it's in my head and it's causing my experience. Notice that I'm the owner of it. And then the question becomes, so if I'm not having a good experience, do I really want to hold on to this judgment? And then for those judgments that we do think, maybe, yeah, this one protects me, I do want this judgment, Spirit's saying, but that's actually keeping you from the ultimate happiness, right? Are you sure you want to hold on to that? So I'll stop the recording, and then why don't we take a little silent meditation to think about those two things, and then we will come back and discuss them.